so it's just easier to carry on the class. Okay. Thank you all for joining. Tomorrow is the marks the end of the Shloshim for our father, Harini Kaparat Mishkavo, and my mother's husband. My mom is here, and my sister's on Zoom. And this shiur is brought to you by all of us, sponsored by all of us. I just happen to be giving the shiur, but it's really all of us together to honor my father's memory. And in thinking about what to talk about, as Shiva progressed, more and more stories sort of rolled in about my dad, about how we used to greet everybody and smile at everybody, and how he was just friendly to everybody. And so I thought that we would study the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, which you have on the screen. Shammai Omer, Aseh Toratcha Keva, Omer Ma'at, Shammai used to say, make your study of Torah fixed practice, speak little but do much, and receive all people with a pleasant countenance. One of the really beautiful stories that emerged about my dad there was an individual who was sitting in shul, and he was sitting, it was Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, and he was sitting next to, and he came to shul from time to time and was able to follow the Shabbat davening on his own, but needed help following the Yom Kippur davening, which is a little bit more complex. And the person who he was sitting next to, who year after year was sort of his guide through the Yom Kippur davening, left, and he was left all alone, bereft of his partner, and who was going to help him find his way through the davening. And then he noticed that my father from time to time would flash him his machzor to show him the page. My father sort of picked up that this gentleman was feeling a little bit lost at sea, so to speak. And my father took it upon himself to help him. And when I got this email, I showed it to my kids. And my son, Ellie, said to me, yeah, we used to see Zaidi do this all the time, that when he knew there was someone sitting behind him, we didn't know the place on Shabbos, he would take his sitter and sort of hold it up over his head. So the people behind him would be able to see what page you're on. So that was sort of my father, kind to everyone and always with a smile and always willing to help. So we'll spend some time on this Mishnah. And at the end, I'll suggest an approach to this Mishnah, which is sort of counter to the way a lot of other people understand this Mishnah, but what I think really does justice to my father, and I think really has a strong element of truth to it. So when one learns Pirkei Avot, there are lots of ways to learn it. One way to learn it is to try to see if one could figure out what the connection between the Mishnah that one is studying and the Mishnah that came before it. That's one way to study it. Another way to study it is to try to understand if there's a tie-in, because many of the Mishnayot, many of these passages have more than one statement in them. And often the commentaries will try to find some common theme or some connection between the various statements in the Mishnah we'll do that. And we'll also look at some of them together. Not everything that we're going to study specifically relates to my father. Some of this is Torah for Torah's sake, Torah Lishma. Again, what drew me to this Mishnah was the statement at the end, having mekabel kol ha'adam b'seira panim yafot, that we should greet all people pleasantly. So we're going to start with Avot d'Rabbi Natan. And this is Avot d'Rabbi Natan almost served as like a Gemara to Pirkei Avot. There is no Gemara for Pirkei Avot. But Avot d'Rabbi Natan will collect similar rabbinic statements or related rabbinic statements. And it's sort of often studied as a companion text to Pirkei Avot itself. And Avot d'Rabbi Natan here does something very interesting. And we're referring to the first statement, where it says, Asei Torah Tcha Keva, make your Torah, and you see in the brackets, it's study of Torah, but that's sort of already a commentary. It says, make your Torah Keva, make your Torah a fixed practice. And to be honest, most commentaries say that that is referring to the study of Torah. But you see that Avot d'Rabbi Natan does something different. Avot d'Rabbi Natan says as follows, Asei Torah d'chakeva, ketzad. What does this mean? How are we supposed to make our Torah a fixed practice? Milameid she'im shama adam davar mipi chacham bebeit ha-midrash, al yaseh oto arai, el yaseh oto keva. If one hears something from their teacher in the study hall, they shouldn't make it something which is occasional or something just unimportant. Right, they should make it a fixed practice. So what does that mean? Uma shelamad adam yeaseh v'yilmod la'acherim. That what a person hears in the Beit Midrash, they should do, and they should teach,
So what Avot d'Rabbi Natan does here, and a lot of the commentaries on this commentary point out, that Avot d'Rabbi Natan adds this point, that Masha Lamad Adam Ya'aseh, they should do. Not only should they teach it to others, but they should also do it. So there's an element here of turning our Torah, or making sure that the Torah that we study gets turned into practice. It ends up being something practical that we do, right? There are not all elements of, sometimes we just study Torah Lishma, which is a very important, the pure Torah study as considered in some element of the Torah world, the highest form of Torah study. But here, Avot d'Rabbi Natan is going outside of that lane, so to speak, and saying that it's about doing. We're going to come back to that in a moment. But when I saw this, I actually was reminded of a story about my father and my parents. So we grew up in Oceanside, New York, in Long Island, the land of our people. We were members of the Young Israel of Oceanside, which was a really wonderful shul. And there was a common practice in that shul that people left their televisions on a Shabbos clock. A timer, what people in the real world call the timer, and what only Jews call a Shabbos clock, right? You go into Lowe's and you say, what aisle are the Shabbos clocks on, right? I guess if you live in New York, the people in Lowe's will know what you're talking about, but in here, they won't know what you're talking about. So it was common practice to keep the television on a timer, on a Shabbos clock. Only for sports. And maybe only for sports, my mother says. And I distinctly remember, one day, my parents saying, okay, we're not doing this anymore. We're not going to do this anymore. And I was like, well, why not? And they said, because Rabbi Blech told us to stop. And so we're stopping. And I was like, well, maybe I want to be a rabbi. The guy gets up there and says something and everyone listens. Maybe that's what led me to be a rabbi. Little did I know. In any case, this when I came to this statement of Avot d'Rabbi Natan, I sort of revisited that story in my mind. I hadn't thought about it in a long time,
that when you hear something in the Beit Midrash from the teacher, you should do it. And that's very much the way my father was. He wasn't like someone to ask a lot of questions. He wasn't really someone to, you know, to quite, why is the rabbi saying that? What's the point? What's he getting at? That's what the rabbi said. That's what we did. And that's the way, and that's the way it goes. So that's Avot Rabbi Natan. Again, the chidush here, the novel point is, this is not only talking about Torah study. This is talking about fulfillment of the mitzvot. Okay. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to try to connect all three statements of the Mishnah. So I'll open this up to audience participation. There are some people in our home and most people on Zoom. And if you want to offer an explanation, you could put it in the chat, or you could try to unmute yourself. I don't know if you can. I can't see everyone's screen because, thank God, there are a lot of people. But I'm looking for some common denominator between these three statements, right? Which are, again, make your Torah study something which is fixed practice, say little and do much, and accept everyone with a pleasant countenance. Is there a common denominator between those three? So I'll scroll through the I'll scroll through, or you can put it in the chat, but I'll scroll through the pictures to see if anyone has their hand up. Or if anyone. Oh yeah, Carol Lieberman.
Okay, we're not alone, and we don't live just to ourselves. So what we learn that's good, we should teach to others, and we should do it, and then it grows from there.
Okay. Okay, I think we're going to stop there because Carol hit the jackpot. Okay, so here we go. The truth is, you actually did better than the commentary, Terry. Avigdor Shinan is a contemporary Israeli author. He wrote a commentary on Pirkei Avot. He also wrote a commentary, I think, on Yonah, right? The book we have on Yonah. He wrote, and he writes books with one of Gabi's favorite scholars, Yair Zakovich. So he writes as follows. He writes, Shammai Omer, it's the second source on the page, right under his name. Shammai Omer, Ma'amaro shel Shammai Murkav, that this statement is complex. Kima'amarim rabim macherim b'masechet, like other comments, like other statements in Pirkei Avot, Mishlosha chalakim, made of three parts. Ach nitan lekasher rak ben shnei harishonim shebahem. He says, I'm only successful, says Shinan, in connecting two of them. And what are the two? First, he says, asei toratcha keva, right? So a person has to set aside, he says, a person has to set aside time for Torah study, and it should be at a regular time, right? Not, instead of saying, I'll when I have 10 minutes late, I'm committed to learning Torah. When I have 10 minutes, I'll do it. That's not the preferred practice. The preferred practice is to have every day at whatever time of the day it is. That's my time for Torah study. That's when I have and the best way to do this, by the way, is with a chavruta, with a study partner, because then you can't be late and they can't be late. And there's a little pressure to make sure everyone shows up on time. Right. So, or you come to a class, and if you don't come to the class, the teacher's going to call you and say, where were you? And they're going to make you feel guilty. Right. So the best thing to do is to set your own time for Torah study. Okay. So that's what it means. Asei Toratcha Keva. Right. In fact, the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat says that after 120, one of the questions God's going to ask us is, Kavata itim l'Torah. Did you set aside time for Torah? Okay, so that's the first statement. What does that have to do with the second statement? So comes along Shinan in the second paragraph where the cursor is Omer Ma'atva Seharbe Hamashkia et Roz Mano Belimud Ubiisuk Intellectuali. This is a really great point. If one is engaged most of their life with Torah study or with any other intellectual pursuit. Asui lisbor, lisvor, ki zeha ikar. One could conclude that that's the most important thing in life. V'chi diyunim v'diburim v'sichot v'hachlafat deot yicholim l'maleet chovotav shel adam. One could think that just thinking about ideas and exchanging ideas is the only thing that a person needs to do. Gam kalpei achevra shebahu natun. Even amongst the society in which they live, right? I don't need to go out there and do anything. I'm an intellect. I think of the ideas. Let someone else do them. Right? If you asei Torah tchakeva, if you're so focused on intellectual pursuits, that may be one's conclusion. Al kein mamshich shamai v'koveya ki ha'asiya chashuva biyoter. Comes along Shamai and says, omer me'at v'asei harbe. Don't be engaged so much in talking about intellectual things. You have to limit that a little bit and do a lot. Right? Omer ma'at v'asei harbe. Mamshich shamai v'koveya ki asiya chashuva yoter. It has to overcome, overshadow, really, is the better translation. It has to overshadow, right? This also echoes, this is the Nat Shinan's idea. This echoes another debate in the Gemara, where the Chazal are debating what's more important, limud or maaseh, what's more important, studying Torah or doing things, or doing mitzvot. And in the end, the result is limud is more important. Learning is more important, but why? Because it's mevi lidei maaseh, because it leads one to action, right? So that's what's going on here. So Shinan has successfully connected the first two pieces of the Mishnah. Torah, very, very important, but, or any intellectual pursuit, right? Very, very important, but don't let that lead to a situation where we don't engage with our society and try to help our society. And that's what the highlight is. Berosh ma'ayinav shel adam trichim la'amod ma'asei chesed ezra lezulat. And that's very much, again, like my father was. The most important thing that a person can do is to do chesed for other people. Hora'a berabim u'milui tafkidim tziburim. Teaching or filling public public tasks. Again, when I read this, I also thought of my father, because I remember one of the things I remember doing with my father is back in the day, he used to be the journal chairman for the Young Israel of Oceanside dinners. So back in the day, they used to print a book they used to give you at these dinners. And the book had all of the ads that people paid for, right? There were gold pages, silver pages, bronze pages, full pages, half pages, quarter pages, eighth pages, 16 pages. You get a line, you get a few letters, right? So my father, I would hear him on the phone at night after he came home from work, calling people, trying to convince them to buy ads. And then he would go to the printer and look at the galleys to make sure everything was properly done on the page. And so he was milui tafkidim tziborim, right? He fulfilled these public tasks. Yeah, for years and years he did that. Okay, so that combines the first two Mishnayot. What about? I'm just looking at the chat. If anyone has anything, it's hard for me to do everything at once. Sorry about that. If there anyone who has a question, you could use the raise hand. If anyone wants to make a comment, you could use the raise hand function on the screen. My mother-in-law wants to say something. All right, we'll unmute my mother-in-law. All right, unmute yourself, Mom, and then you could speak.
Am I unmuted?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, when you said about not only to learn a subject, like if a person goes to the London School of Economics and he takes French, that's wonderful. But if he doesn't use it, what good is it? It's just another subject in his resume. But your father, not only did he learn from the rabbi or whoever, but then he went and practiced. When he lifted that book every week, every Rosh Hashanah, for that man behind him, he was doing, I don't even know what it's called, because you're the rabbi, you know, he was showing a man the place like you would take a six-year-old child and teach him how to read.
Yeah, he was doing chesed, like it says here. Exactly. Thank you.
For no reward, just to be kind.
Right. That talking about daddy showing the place in the sitter. That was an act of chesed, what the Mishnah says here. Okay, thank you. Okay, so what about the third part of the Mishnah? Right? How does that connect to the third part of the Mishnah, which again is So to connect the third part of the Mishnah, I came across this commentary. I forgot where I found this. By the way, this document that we're looking at, by the way, is like a 50-page document. But when I started a project recently, I started learning Pirkei Avot from the beginning. But this time I decided every time I come across a commentary on Pirkei Avot that I really like, a particular comment on a particular Mishnah, I'm going to put it in this document. So I will have my sort of hall of fame of Pirkei Avot comments. So I've done three Mishnayot and it's 50 pages. So it's a slow project, but I got time. Okay. So I found this Sefer Imre Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel Scheinberg. Rabbi Shmuel Scheinberg, by the way, there's a famous Rabbi Scheinberg in Israel, Rabbi Pinchas Scheinberg. We're now on the second page, right on top. Rabbi Pinchas Scheinberg, this is his brother. And so he found the connection between the three Mishnah, the three statements. He says, B'mishnah avot, muva sheshamei hazaken omer shnei ma'amarim, asei torat hakeva, avim mekabel kol dam b'sei rapinim yafot. Make your Torah fixed and accept everyone with a kind face. V'tzarich la'avin et hakesher b'neihem. What's the connection between them? V'yesh lomar she'talmid chacham hamatmid b'limudo alul l't'on she'ein lo zman l'socheach im anashim haba'im elav. This is so beautiful. If you're engaged in something which is really important, like Torah study, you may feel, I don't have time to meet with someone. I don't have time to have a conversation. I don't have time to stop and give someone small talk, right? Alkeine emar shelim marot shetoratcha keva. Even though that someone's Torah is their main occupation, what they do with most of their time, havei mekabel et kol adam b'sefer pinim yafot. You still have to stop and say hello and greet people and spend time with them and give them attention, right? Ve'ein shum hevdel be'ez adam medubar. Doesn't make a difference what type of person, whether they're an important person, a rich person, a poor person. Everyone deserves to be treated with respect and with decency. So together we have a beautiful picture of what a human being is, right? Someone who takes their spiritual responsibilities seriously. They study Torah on a regular basis, yet they also realize that the Torah is supposed to be translated into action, into chesed. And one element of that chesed is how to treat people. Right? We can get caught up that the work we're doing is so important that I don't have time to for the human element, and that is a danger. And so it sounds like what Shammai is saying is the first part is ideal. We should make our Torah keva, and we have to be careful for these other two potential pitfalls. Now, I want to ask a question. There's something very wrong with this Mishnah. Right? Because what do we know about Shammai? There's a famous story about Shammai in the Gemara.
He throws a convert.
Someone comes to Shammai to convert, and he does the opposite of this. Shammai, if someone comes to convert and says, convert me, that you teach me the Torah while I'm standing on one foot, and he throws him out. He hits him with his tool, and he throws him out. So, like, would the real Shammai please stand up? Maybe it's possible that Shammai really felt this, but couldn't do this. That's possible. That's interesting that Shammai was not able to live up to his own teaching. But how else? Is there another way to understand, right, this really interesting point? And I never thought about this till I saw comments on it this week, right? What is going on with Shammai here that... He says, "Havei mekabel kol adam b'sefer pinim yafot," accept everyone kindly. And when this person comes to convert, he does not seem.
He wants it immediately.
Okay, yeah, he wants it immediately. But Shammai could have, said,
dear son, we don't do it that way, right? And it's he seems to be very abrupt with him. So I saw a couple of suggestions along these lines. I want to share it with you and then share one more point, and then we're going to call it a night. I saw a point here by the Lubavitcher. By the way, if you really want to learn a beautiful commentary on Pirkei Avot, I'll make two recommendations. First of all, Rabbi Norman Lamb wrote commentaries on Pirkei Avot, and his family just recently published a small volume, really, really beautiful, material. I highly recommend it. It's in English. If you could read the Hebrew, I really recommend the Lubavitcher Rebbe's commentary on Pirkei Avot. It's really very profound. And he said something similar to, by the way, that Rabbi Shmuel Scheinberg said in order to connect the three pieces of the Mishnah. But he also dealt with this question about Shammai, right? How do we make sense of Shammai? So if you want to look off your, it's on page 42 and it's on the screen. Ze sheshamai hitnaheg kach haya mitzad b'chinato kefi shehu mitzad atzmo b'chinat hagvurot ach la'achar she'amar hillel hevei mitalmidav shel Aharon ohev shalom rodev shalom hishpia hadavar gam al Shammai shegam hu yomar hevei mikabel et kol adam b'sefer miyafot. So the story about Shammai being abrupt with the ger, with the convert, that was Shammai. He was all truth, and he didn't really have a lot of patience for anything that was not on the straight and narrow. But then he heard Hillel's teaching, Havemi Tamidav Shel Aaron, that we should study, be of the students of Aaron, Oev Shalom Rodev Shalom, love peace and pursue peace. It had a hashpa on him. Right, it had a positive effect on him, and he changed his ways. Right, he changed his approach, and so what we're getting now is a post encounter. Right, we're getting now Hillel at a later part of his life, which I think is a really beautiful way to explain this. Right, in the sense that Shammai changed his ways and realized there was a better way to go about and do it and live. I was very moved by that. Pini.
Maybe could suggest that in the special case when the convert came and asked him to be converted, you know, Rabbi, tell me the entire Torah while standing on one foot, he interpreted as being sort of a mockery of Torah. You know, this is not a serious conversion candidate. This person who's sort of making fun of the Torah. So he was responding insofar as a sensitivity to the honor of Torah that I should not be treating in a demeaning fashion. It's not that he was a person who welcomed everybody freely, except when the topic of the honor of Torah was in question, and therefore he felt that he was going to take a mocker into a conversion program, which is not the opposite of a person, a sincere person. Hill, on the other hand, who was a gifted educator, was able to turn that around and was able to, even with somebody who was sort of a chutzpahnik or a person who was mocking, was able to nevertheless carve that kind of person due to his, you know, tremendous gift. But you could argue that Shammai was just protecting the honor of Torah.
Right. So another explanation is this was situational to Shammai. Okay, Yisroel Kahn, thank you. Pinny's my brother-in-law. We are married to sisters. Okay, just in case you didn't know what brother-in-law meant. Okay. By the way, just before I get to my last point, this other statement of Omer Me'at Vaseh Harbeh is the rabbinic statement of under-promise and over-deliver. Right, that's what it's saying. Say a little, and end up doing a lot. And there's beautiful gemarot on this. For example, the Gemara in Bava Metzia analyzes the situation of Avraham when the guests come to visit him. All he says is "Vekhapat lechem," just take some bread. And in the end, what does he end up doing? He ends up making him a whole meal. So he says, "I'm going to deliver you some bread." That's the promise. And he ends up delivering much more. And then he points out that Ephron, when he was trying, when Avram was trying to buy Marat HaMachpelah, Marat HaMachpelah, he says, "Yeah, we're amongst friends. It's no problem. You can have it." And then he ends up charging him an arm and a leg, right? So is that the difference between an Avraham and an Ephraim? Okay, I want to go to one last piece and make the sort of little chiddush here that I may have. There's another Mishnah later on in Pirkei Avot, which you have on the screen and on the sheet. It's on page 45 that says Rabbi Yishmael Omer, and the end it says V'mikavel et kol ha'adam b'simcha, receive every person happily. Which is similar to the end of our Mishnah, right? Where it says, Pirkei Avot 3:12. Receive every person happily. And our Mishnah says, receive every person with a pleasant countenance. So what's the difference between receive everyone happily and receive everyone with a pleasant countenance? So first I will tell you that the Me'iri on the bottom of the page says there is no difference. Okay? Right? Ki'inyan mashi amar l'mala b'sever b'nim yafo. It's the same thing, just like it said above in the earlier chapter. Accept everyone with a pleasant countenance, smile when you see people. This means the same thing. The Rambam, however, the Rambam writes at the end, actually I'll highlight it so you see it at least on the screen. The Rambam says, this is more than that which Shammai said with a pleasant countenance, right? According to the Rambam, greeting everyone with simcha is a higher level of human interaction than greeting everyone with a pleasant countenance. So my charusa, Sam Raskoff, suggested that this means that the second one means, the one in the third paragraph means, in the third chapter, that we have to work on ourselves to really be happy when we see people. I mean, the Perek Aleph means, even if you don't like the person, pretend you're happy to see them. But better than that would be to train ourselves to really always be happy when we see people, regardless of who they are, even if we don't really like them so much. That's the Rambam. I am going to B'mechilat kavod harambam, with all due respect, disagree and suggest that what Shammai is telling us in the first part of, in the first Mishnah, is actually a higher level of interpersonal interaction than the one at the end. And I'll explain with a story. When Rabbi Emanuel Rachman died, Emanuel Rachman, for those the Long Island family, the Farakaway family that are on this call, probably remember Emanuel Rachman. He was the rabbi of the Shari Tfila, I believe, right, Yossi? When it was still in Farakaway. Yeah, if, I don't know if Yossi yes. could hear me. Yeah, right? He was the rabbi of the Shari Tfila and was still in Farakaway, correct?
Yes, correct.
Right. So,
before he became chancellor of Bar Ilan.
Right, then he became chancellor of Bar Ilan. He almost became president of Yeshiva University. Anyway, when he died, his son wrote a beautiful, beautiful article about him. At the end of the article, he wrote the following about his father. He said, during his father's lifetime, up until the very last, I don't know, weeks, months, he never heard a bad word out of his father about anybody. We never heard his father say anything bad. His father was never short-tempered. His father never lacked patience. His father always seemed to have perfect midot. But when his father started getting really sick, he noticed that his father would lose his temper and that he didn't have as much patience. And his son said, "At that moment, I realized my father's greatness. that he had it in him to lose his temper. And he had it in him to not have patience. But he always overcame it. Right? He overcame those negative traits. But when he became older and he didn't have control of his mental faculties anymore, those negative things came out. I think that's what's going on here. The beginning of the Mishnah, the first parak is saying, Havei mekabel kol dam b'sefer pnim yafot. We don't like everybody. We don't get along with everybody. But even if we don't, we have to fake it, like Rabbi Rachman was. We have to hold back those negative tendencies that we have, even if our tendency may be to see someone and to growl at them because of some real or perceived harm that they've done, injury they've done to us. Havei mekabel kol adam b'sefer pnim yafot. We have to always give a smile. The last one, Havei kol adam b'simcha, when you could greet everyone with happiness, that's great, that's easy, because I'm happy to see them. But the real human character strength is when you're not happy to see them and you could overcome it. And I've always remembered that article, and I emailed Rabbi Rachman's family today, because I searched the internet for that article, and I emailed Rabbi Rachman's family today. I got an email from his grandson, his grandson Jonathan Rachman, who Gabi grew up with in Bell Harbor, and I went to school with somewhere along the line or camp. And he emailed me back that his uncle Robert, Rabbi Rachman's son, wrote the article. They remember it, but he's traveling. He doesn't have access to it, so he's going to try to get it to me. But they remember it. So my recollection of the story was correct. So my chiddush for tonight is that the first perek of having a kabel at kol dam b'sefer pnim yafot is actually a higher level of human development, because it's not always possible to love people, but we could overcome it and pretend that's something. That's really something. And that builds community, that builds friendship, that builds stability.
But if somebody really does something wrong, you still have to pretend I love you?
My mother's asking a question, if the person's really done something bad to you. So I think the Mishnah seems to be saying you greet them kindly. I don't know if you have to, I'm not sure what level of interaction you're obligated to have with every person. I don't know for sure, but this Mishnah, by the way, some people limit this Mishnah. If this is uncomfortable, if this is hard, some people limit this Mishnah and says, have a mikabel. When someone presents themselves to you, when they show up in your house, you should be gracious to them. But otherwise, not so much, right? But I like to think that this is broader advice, and really asking us to overcome. To overcome, and I really was. I always remember that line in that illustration in the article about Rabbi Rachman.
Rabbi Gelman, I just want. This is your sister talking.
Yeah, okay.
I find it very interesting or funny or I don't know, something. May Hashem, may our Father, that both of us. We had no idea this was happening. I also took on myself to learn Pirkei Avot from start to finish. And I also did not tell anyone that I was doing this. And I also, tomorrow I'm doing a learning and I chose Pirkei Avos to do it. Mm-hmm. I just find it very interesting that both children, we live states apart, and this is what we chose to honor our Father, and that we're still taking on the learning of Pirkei Avot from start to finish to keep going.
Yep. Thank you.
I raised the kids right.
Okay. Joe, what do you want to say? Okay. So that's a little bit about this Mishnah. We've managed to try to find some connection between all three statements. The importance of turning our learning into action, of being being kind to people and showing people and greeting them in a nice way. People would say whenever someone came into shul, my father was always very quick to greet them. You know, I want to share one other thing with you. This is just one other neat thing. This is from the Midrash Shmuel, just a little bit of a non sequitur, but I can't help myself because it's really an interesting insight. You see the Midrash Shmuel, it's on, in the middle of page 43, and it's an anthology of commentaries of Pirkei Avot. He says, this notion of greeting everyone pleasantly sometimes could take the place of other things that we may not be in a position to do for people. He says, "V'im ein lecha yecholet lasot lehem harbe al pachot her elehem panim tzuhuvot." Let's say one doesn't have a lot of money, right? And they can't, and someone needs help, but they can't help them financially. So what can you do to make them feel better? So you could be friendly to them. You could smile. Ki zeyeh chashuv lahem yoter mi'im noten lahem shor avus upanecha kivushot. This will be more valuable than if you would give them a fattened animal, but you do it with your head like to the ground, like here, just take it and you know, and leave me alone. Also, this is echoing the Gemarot in terms of how to give tzedakah. So this is also just a very beautiful idea that our human interactions with people are not always and not necessarily, not even primarily about what we give, but about how we present ourselves. Do we present ourselves as sort of large-hearted, that we're so happy that the person's in our life and it gives us joy that they're in our life? And that can be very, very helpful and very, very uplifting to someone who is down. And that was, again, another common theme that I heard from stories that came in from my father. So I hope that this learning that we did together is a zechut to my father, whose Shloshim ends officially tomorrow, Rosh Chodesh, and may his neshama have an aliyah, and may we all learn a little how to interact with other people from his life, and I think if we do, we'll all live in better places and better home, better communities, and we'll make people feel thought about and cared for and loved. And my mother and my sister and I and our families certainly feel loved and looked after by all of you, by everyone who's at the shiur and who's on the Zoom. Thank you for joining, people who are in different time zones, for trying to figure that out. I know it's not always so easy. I'm sure that someone's going to call me later and say, "What time is the shiur?" Thank you for joining. It really meant the world to us that you came together for this, and we should come together for simchas in the future, and we should be able to celebrate happy occasions for all of our families, our friends, and our communities.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Very enjoyable. Very interesting. Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Good night,
everybody.
Bye. Go off.
Bye. Very nice. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Good night. Bye.
Those of you who are here, please.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, everybody. Good night. Thank you so much.
If you want to run over, have some snacks, feel free.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Good night, Nelson. Good night.
Thanks a bunch.
Eve, I'll call you tomorrow.
Debbie, thank you for coming on.
Barry, it was beautiful. Thank you.
Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you. Thank you, Mishulam. Thank you, Yehuda. Thank you, Gita, for coming on. Walter, mazel tov again.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Very nice.
Very nice year. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm grateful to all the extended Gelman family members who joined as well. Thank you so much.
Barry Yishukayach.
Thank you, Yossi.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you so much. Yeah, well, it could be something else. It could be that the Rambam is saying, "Save our penim yafot." I shouldn't think about this until just now. "Save our penim yafot" is just a smile, and "simcha" is like, "I'm so happy to see you," even though you may not feel it. Yeah, maybe, could be. He doesn't. Right. Yeah. So yeah, maybe I should have said that instead. Yeah. All right, Yeshikaya. Thank you.
Thank you, Barry. It was beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Convey to you condolences from Ezra.
Thank you.
He said he called you a few times.
I've had a good time.
Yeah, it's very nice. Marilyn and I.
Oh, you told me.
I mean, there's always so much in there to learn, but it was.
Yes.
I remember the part that you, the part you're referring to.
Good.
Thank you. Good.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. I'm going to end the shiur now. Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you so much for coming.
About food, I'm not arguing with him. So he texted me, and then in the back of the show, I was actually something else.
Was it here?
Yeah.